Podcasting. Who would have ever thought? Thank you for tuning in to the World Rider Podcast Edition. This is episode number 16, and here I actually board the train a few days before Thanksgiving and head with my motorcycle from Oruro, Bolivia, to Uyuni, the dusty and tiny outpost pueblo that sits on the fringes of the Salar de Uyuni. At 7,200 and some odd square miles, it's the largest salt flat in the world. Here you'll actually meet other motorcycle travelers, including the sometimes missing in action Jeremiah, back into the scene. He explains exactly what happened to him since he left me in Santa Cruz and headed towards the Salar himself. You'll also meet Andy Teagues, who I ended up spending a couple days riding the Salar with, and Ming Ang, the Indonesian-born Chinese gentleman who now lives in Corvallis, Oregon, and joined Jeremiah for several days. So tune in. And this one's entirely in English, so if you've been kind of put off by some of the Spanish only, you'll enjoy this edition. Tune in. You put me on. Okay, it's been kind of a long day, but I am on the train and moving one step closer to my ultimate Bolivian destination, the Salar de Uyuni. I decided to go with the executive class. It cost me about $9-$10 here on the FCA train. There are actually two trains that leave Oruro for Uyuni, both twice a week. I'm actually on what would consider the second-class train. Haven't really gotten a clear idea of what the difference is, but this car's kind of nice. My seat reclines. As I peer out the window, one of the train porters rings the bell, alerting everybody that the train is about to take off. There's a television screen playing really bad, yet entertaining music videos of some of the Latin American pop artists. Currently, I've got the seat next to me open, and I know Doc is on, he's in the cargo car, and we're moving forward. It's going to be a 7 or so hour journey to Uyuni. I'll actually get in at about 2:30 in the morning at that point, somehow figure out how I can ride the bike to the hotel and convince a taxi driver to take all of my cosas, all of my things. But the ankle's doing okay, you know, a little bit. I actually rode the bike this morning to get to the train station, and what a scene that was, getting the bike weighed. And ultimately, they were supposed to wait for me to put the bike on the train. Of course, at 4 o'clock, when I returned about 6 hours after dropping the bike off, my bike's already on the train. And they totally ignored all of my careful instructions on how to best secure this, so we had no problems on the rickety, rackety train tracks as we thundered down through the desert towards Uyuni. But I'm confident that the folks know as concerned as I am about my bike, so I can only keep my fingers crossed and hope that when I do arrive in Uyuni, all is well. So I'm going to watch these Mexican videos, and maybe I can snooze. There's actually a restaurant and a bar car on this train, so I actually met a Brazilian / British gentleman traveling with his British wife from Brazil, and I think we're going to go ahead and have a have a beer or two at some point. It's a long ride. So, I'm kind of curious. We know that Jeremiah is, at least he at one point said he was going to be in Uyuni. We do know that he had a breakdown in the desert, or in the Altiplano, rather. We know that somehow he was robbed or ripped off, but his emails have been scant, short. So there's a lot of information. I do hope we run into him. There's another guy riding a KLR, actually, is from Texas, or lives in Texas these days, originally from Minnesota, Andy Teagues. And I got an email from him, and he was in Sucre, but headed towards Uyuni. So there's an idea or a slight chance that we might run into him there.
I like you.
Stay tuned.
With your makeup on, all dialed up, singing a song, you put me on a morning train. You put me on a morning train. Me on a morning train.
Yeah, but we got a little business to take care of here first here, so we're going to introduce everybody. We're here with a long-awaited reunion with Jeremiah St. Orris, and I know a lot of these World Rider readers and podcast followers are just dying to know what has been going on. From what we're in Uyuni right now, and Jeremiah's just back from 4 days on the Salar with another motorcyclist, Ming, on a DR650. But we're going to back up and rewind the tape a little bit to Thursday night. I think it was around the 5th or 6th of November. I don't even remember the date. But Jeremiah, we had dinner at the Los Eros restaurant. He gets next morning, early start, heads to Cochabamba. That's the last I heard from him until about couple days ago, and now he's in Uyuni. We understand that there were some problems on the highway with the bike.
Yeah, Alan, one or two.
Let's see. The ride to Cochabamba went pretty well, although it rained a lot, and there was a lot of traffic over that pass that I think you went on with the truck.
And the people were just unbelievable, the police as well as the folks and all the zillions of trucks and cars. Everyone ushering me to the front of this incredibly long line that lasted for miles and miles and miles.
2 hours,
yeah, and people were moving vehicles and front-end loaders and you name it to try and make just enough room for one motorcycle to get to the front of this line. It was the lone moto in the whole shebang. So that was pretty great. But anyway, after that, the next day on the en route to Oruro in the middle of nowhere, my clutch cable snapped. And I had no clutch, no way to move forward. There was almost no traffic on the road. I mean, I, in fact, while I was parked trying to fix things, nobody passed in either direction. And that was a couple of hours. And there were thunderstorms building all around, lightning striking left and right. It was exciting times. Anyway, I got it put back together in about 2 hours or so. Had to jerry-rig parts because one of the BMW parts had broken. So I was not able to just simply pop in a new cable, which I had in tow, but had to jerry-rig using a bunch of other parts and various things to get it going. Anyway, moved on to Oruro, bought some other parts to rig it a little better than I had out there in the field. Moved on to Potosí and then to Sucre, and then in Sucre, Nikki got my new tires together, and we put those in and realized my rear wheel bearings were shot. So he said, no problem, we can get them in Sucre. Put them in, all looked good, went back to the hotel, and subsequently got ripped off about $4,000 worth of stuff. Spent 3 days fighting with the police, trying to make headway and trying to find the guy because we positively ID'd him from a mugshot. He's a Peruvian and a transient, specializes in ripping off tourists. At any rate, 3 days later, I was at wit's end, ready to get out of town because I was concerned about the weather in the Salar. pushed on down the road, heard funny noises in my rear end, but solved that by putting my earplugs in. Noise went away. Got to a uni, met up with Ming, headed out to the Salar, heard the noise even louder, fully loaded, without my earplugs in, because I usually don't wear them in the dirt. Ming says, well, maybe we should have a mechanic listen to that because, you know, we don't know. We don't want to get stuck way out in the middle of nowhere.
Not out there, man.
So sure enough, we find this guy on Sunday morning. He's as you would say, a legend. I mean, this guy, I'm glad I got pictures because he's just classic. Skin cancer on his face, little Bolivian hat. Sunday morning, reaches out his greasy hand and says, I'm your guy. Listens to it at first, no noise at all, says it sounds fine, you guys should go. Ming and I insist that he needs to listen more because it's very irregular, it'll pop up again. Sure enough, clunk, clunk, and all he said was, mal, 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 muy mal,
which means
very, very, very bad. So at any rate, on a Sunday morning, we proceed to pull the wheel off, pull the bearings out. Turns out one of the bearings in Sucre was defective from the factory. And we mangled the second one trying to get to the first one. So now we had two bad bearings. And believe it or not, on a Sunday morning in a uni, we were able to buy new bearings that were the right size for a BMW, get them in, and get on the road. So it was an incredible story, but we then headed out to the Salar for 4 days after all of these travails.
Wow, that's a quick an incredible update. Clutch cable snapping out on that road. I know I was on that road. One of the things I did, and it's a good tip for other moto travelers there, I've got a clutch cable pre-wired, so if it ever snaps, all I do is swap them out and put them in. But bad parts, you know, I ended up with a bad clutch lever that I've been carrying for 25,000. Let's go back to, what hotel did you stay in Sucre when you went back?
The exact same one you and I stayed in, Alan, the Colonial Real. And I popped the glass doors open after a full day at Nikki's shop, rolled the bike in, and needed help putting it on the center stand. So I put down my helmet, unzipped my tank bag, and put the helmet and the tank bag on the chair inside, well inside, off the road, the hotel. Got the son of the owners to come help me put it on the center stand because, you know, there's a lot of glass in there, and I didn't want the bike to tip and break the glass. Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, in the 2 seconds it took us to put it on the center stand, I walk back, not, you know, 5-6 meters away. There's my helmet. My tank bag is gone. That's how fast it happened.
Oh my God, from right inside the hotel, the legendary hotel that did us so well. Did you see the guy leaving? Is that how you were able to positively identify him? Or did the gal in the Intel booth, how did that happen?
I actually never did see him. The son of the owner saw him, just for a second. And when their eyes met, The robber quickly grabbed his cell phone and pretended to be speaking on it, although that's not what he was doing. And her son is 29 years old. He's a lawyer. He actually works with the police. And he said, you know, I know this. I would recognize his face if they have a photo of him. So we go down to the police station. The guy in charge of the mugshots is out for the night. So we have to go back the next morning. And he's going through shot after shot after shot. And all of a sudden he says, that's the guy. Absolutely, positively, he's 110% certain that's the guy.
So your tank bag is kind of a legendary item on your travels, as I know I've traveled with that, and you and I have disagreed on tank bags, but, you know, of course I've got more Kosas than you anyway, but that's a whole other story. What was in the tank bag? I know you mentioned in an email that the video camera's gone. The rebel that I yanked and traveled with, is that in good hands, please?
Yeah, fortunately I have both of my still cameras, but just as I was leaving for Nikki's to go spend the day, you know, really at a workshop working on my bike, I thought, well, I better take my iPod because my iPod had a bunch of BMW part numbers and information and specs and things that I might need while working on the bike. So I throw my brand new iPod in there. The last second, my tripod was in there. The Sony video camera was in there from the day before. I just left it in there. you know, miscellaneous other things like a knife and chapstick and various things. But my Bolivia map, you know, all those sorts of things were inside there. So all total, it was about 30 items and about $4,000 worth of value. But even if an insurance company, for instance, were to pay me back, I couldn't go buy those things now. They're not available here in Bolivia. And I don't have my legendary tank bag to carry my cameras and things, so I'm really kind of hurting for space and just, you know, the way I keep organized.
Well, Jeremiah, what I'm so bummed to hear this. I mean, this is just incredible. But, you know, you had a lot of us hanging out there on where you were. You know, the email, the way I took it is you got ripped off on the road. But so I guess that's obviously a lot different story. Any recommendations you might have for other travelers out there traveling in South America so that these kinds of things might not happen, whether it be motorcycle breakdown related or the unbelievable theft that happened, which, you know, you always hear about and it never happens to anybody.
Well, it was just bad luck. I've traveled for a year with no thefts whatsoever, and my bike's been in much, much scarier places with many more people all around it and unguarded. So this was a real unusual situation with just bad luck because I was inside a really nice hotel with all the owners about. I had all the confidence in the world that my stuff was safe on that seat. So really, it was just bad luck. I don't think there's anything that I could have done or should have done that was any different that would have prevented the theft.
All right, well, it's good to see you in one piece. It's good to see the bikes in one piece. I'm sure that between good heads and minds, we'll figure ways to get that camera easily accessible as it's been in the past, and look forward to getting back on the road. We've got some other moto travelers here, but we're going to have to sit down and eat, and we'll catch up with those guys here in a little bit. Well, a uni seems to be a gathering place for world riding of some sort, motorcyclists, and we're sitting at a table here at Minuteman Pizza, which ironically enough is owned by another American, Chris, who moved here 6 years ago. He's married a woman from La Paz, and after having a pizza business in Amherst, Massachusetts, at the campus of University of Mass, he opened one up in the Tonito Hotel. And at the Tonito Hotel tonight, we've got Andy Tiggs and another motorcyclist from Corvallis, Oregon, Ming. We got to get his last name here. But I just wanted to get Andy to tell us a little bit of story. You know, you've been on the road. I know we've exchanged some emails. You've been riding for several months. You've come a lot of the route that both Jeremiah and I have talked, and we just talked about, is a amazing Colombian experience. But you know, what has it been for you, and what's next here? And kind of give a little overview of who you are.
Oh boy, that's a broad question. That could take a long time. But I'm just a guy who got sick of his job and quit back in June, and got on his motorcycle, and now 5 months later is in Bolivia. I met Alan and Jeremiah at different motorcycle meets back in the U.S. a year or two ago, and we've kind of kept in loose email contact, and it just worked out that we were all able to end up here today in Uyuni, Bolivia. As Alan said, we're coming to you from the Minuteman Cafe here. We think there's a clandestine chapter here. They're going to repel the undocumented Chileans coming across the Salar, you know. But yeah, as Alan said, we covered a lot of the same territory. There's a lot of the attractions in the area are places that we've had in common. We've all spent some time in Sucre, Bolivia, prior to coming here, and it's just good to be able to meet up with people. You know, it's one of these small world stories that that we're all here tonight.
So what kind of motorcycle are you riding right now, and have you had any problems, maintenance or insurance issues or any of this stuff?
Well, I'm riding a 2000 KLR 650, which I've owned since new, It's going to turn 40,000 miles tomorrow out on the Salar, and it's really been a good bike for me. I think it was a good choice for this trip. It's got enough power to keep up on the highway, and yet it's still light enough I can wheel it into motel courtyards. Haven't really had any significant problems this trip, knock wood. Speedometer cable breaking was the biggest one, and I was carrying a spare, so it was a 5-minute fix. Compared to a lot of the stories I've heard, I feel like I've been pretty lucky. Haven't even got a flat tire.
Yeah, knock on wood on that. I haven't either. So KLR is a popular bike we see on the circuit, as it is the South American, North American circuit, as well as the F650s. We're sitting here at the table with another moto traveler. Actually, is on. It's probably the first DR650 that I've heard of being on the circuit. Lots of KLRs, lots of F650s, Dakars, and that. But we've got Ming, and I didn't get your last name, Ming. What is it?
My last name is Ang, A-N-G.
Ming Ang, and he's on a DR650, and sitting across the table here from Andy. You're from Corvallis, Oregon. How did you end up here in Uyuni?
Well, I end up here in Uyuni from Oregon. Started the trip in May 2006 this year. I work at HP Corvallis site. Got a little bit tired of working and want to do travel. So I travel all the way to Central America and ship my bike from Panama to Colombia by boat, and then from Colombia all the way to Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia. And riding from Sucre to Potosi, I met Jeremiah here, so we turn around and chat on the street, and try to figure out where each one of them want to go, and decided that we would do the trip together on a Uyuni.
And the Uyuni is kind of one of those classic destinations that I think most motorcycles want to go here. And though I've read a lot of stories of some that don't. What about you? What was it of the Salar that maybe drew you here?
From what I read and what I've seen people done in Bolivia, Uyuni is one of the highlights,
Sure.
It's the largest salt lake in the world and the tallest one, the highest one.
Sure.
So, and the picture that I saw is just incredible. And after visiting it, I think the picture doesn't do any justice at all.
Yeah.
It's much more spectacular. So I think it's one of the highlights of my trip, the Uyuni.
Fantastic. I want to go back to Andy and ask that same question, the Salar de Uyuni. Was this always on one of your kind of highlights, or did it just, are you traveling an itinerary, and do you have a set of destinations, or what's your plan? I love both of you guys got kind of tired of your jobs and have hopped on motorcycles to kind of find out what's going on in the world. How did the Salar come on your itinerary?
Well, from what I'd read of other people's ride reports and just doing my general research for this trip, several months ago, the Salar was one of the places that I really did want to get to. I had been on the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah in the U.S., and I wanted to see how this compared with that. And I'm just one of those people that like the wide open spaces. I haven't spent as much time in some of the big cities on this trip as a lot of riders do. I just like that wide open, lonely feeling of being out in the middle of nowhere. And that's how I ended up here.
Excellent. And another question, Andy. We talked and exchanged email, and you were considering going on the Shea Trail or to La Higuera, where the Bolivian army did gun down and assassinate Che Guevara. Did you make it there, or what were other reports that you heard other than what I told you?
Well, I ended up deciding not to go there, mainly just because it would have added 3 days or so to the time that I would have had to spend in Bolivia, and that time would have had to come out of Argentina's time, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, one of the hardest things about this trip is you go someplace and you hear about someplace cool and you think, well, should I go there or is there someplace even cooler further down the road? And this is just one of those decisions I made to go further down the road.
Yeah, that's battling that. Jeremiah and I, we've battled that a lot. In fact, one of the things as a result of my accident and probably contributing is his unfortunate robbery in Bolivia. We're missing Coroico and the Yungas and the infamous Death Road. But nonetheless, there's always things to come back for, and you know, that's it. Going back to Ming from Corvallis again, how long are you planning on being on the road, and what's your timeline looking like?
I'm supposed to go back to work on 1st of March next year. But we'll see what's going on. I might continue, and I'm not so sure what to do yet after that. Before then, you know.
Andy, how long are you going to be on the road? And you left in May? What's your plan?
Well, I actually started this trip back in June with a month riding around the U.S., left the U.S. into Mexico in the middle of July. The plan is for me to get down to the tip of South America, Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego by the end of the year, and then take another couple weeks riding back up to Buenos Aires, where I'll fly home from. Those dates are just kind of artificial deadlines that I gave myself at the start of the trip. I don't have a job at this point to go back home to, but I'm trying to discipline myself to stick to the original plan.
Excellent. You know, as I sit across the at the table from Andy here, and I can't help but, you know, as it racks my brain to figure out who he reminds me of, and those who know me well know how much I like Pink Floyd, and I'm telling you, the guy is a spitting image of David Gilmour during the era of, like, Animals in the Wall. I mean, it is incredible, and Ming, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Jeremiah, you know, you've met Andy, I think, in Colorado. You ran into Ming out there on the road from Sucre to Potosí. What do you think of all this, motorcycles hanging out in Uyuni?
Well, I actually met Andy in Mexico in Copper Canyon, my first Horizons Unlimited meet there. And then he was again at the second one that you and I met at, Alan. And finally, the third time was at another Horizons Unlimited meet in Leadville, Colorado this past July, which time we swapped notes and found out that we would both be in South America around the same time. So we were sort of looking for each other in the sense that we were on each other's radar screen and figured that Bolivia was probably where that nexus was going to happen. And sure enough, yesterday afternoon, I walked across the street and not saying a word, just sort of walked towards him, and he looked up and said, "Hey." So it was pretty funny. Definitely a small world experience.
We've got a lot of catching up, and this podcast is going to drag on and on, but I will say that Jeremiah and Ming are leaving tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving, by the way, and we're all celebrating with pizza here with chicken on the pizza, at least. You know, it's not quite turkey, and with a damn Bostonian guy, of all things. But Jeremiah and Ming are going to actually do the volcano route, which I actually just got off a Jeep tour, and you guys heard some of the podcasts from that. Parts of my Jeep tour went on way off the deep end, and as I was riding in the back of that Jeep looking at the road saying, no fucking way would I be on my bike, I'm hoping Jeremiah and Ming don't end up on that road, and I don't think they will, but it's still a very tough ride, and I'm happy I saw it, but I want to wish those guys luck, and hopefully we'll connect with them after that ride to hear the stories of hopefully seen clutch cables and seen Yanta problems, etc., etc.
podcast edition.
Podcasting. Who would have ever thought?